Shooting Star. Written by Barbara Cartland. Narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1, 1878. Flavia Linwood gazed dreamily out of the window at the garden and thought she had never seen it look better. There were flowers everywhere. After a very cold and wet spring, the temperature had risen with the result that the flowers had bloomed and the weeds had flourished too. Suddenly, the whole place seemed to be transformed from the time of the long winter days. Flavia loved being in the country, and she was sad in some way that she must now go to London. Yet she knew that she would enjoy the endless balls and meeting her father's friends. Her father had been saying for some time that she must come out in a traditional season, as it was only the morning after her mother's death that had prevented her from being a debutante the previous year. Queen Victoria had made the period of mourning a great social significance and very lengthy. People were afraid to enjoy themselves if there had been a death in the family, and they were to be dressed at all times in black. Flavia, however, was thinking that most of all she would miss the horses she rode every morning, as well as swimming in the lake at the end of the garden, which she had done ever since she was a child, and some people thought this was very strange on the part of a young girl. But London was waiting for her. When the maid came in to call her, she told her that the carriage had been ordered for 9:30. "I'll have to hurry, Betsy," Flavia exclaimed, "as Papa will be annoyed if I arrive later than he expects." "We'll miss you, Miss Flavia," the maid muttered, "but it will be right and proper for you to have your time in London. It ought to have been last year, oh, but for your dear mother's passing. God rest her soul." Flavia did not answer, and after she had washed, she dressed quickly. She dressed in her very smart clothes that had been bought especially for her to travel to London. One of her many aunts flattered herself that she had good taste, and had gone to the most expensive shops in Bond Street for Flavia's coming-out wardrobe. She was nearly 19, and almost too old to be a debutante. But, as she had not been able to appear at any of the balls last year, she was going to make up for it now. She certainly looked extremely smart and elegant in a blue dress that reminded her of the forget-me-nots in the garden, and she wore a hat to match, trimmed with flowers. "You look so lovely, Miss Flavia. Oh, you really do," Betsy sighed. "And we'll miss you till you be back with us again." Flavia smiled at Betsy, who had looked after her ever since she had given up having a nanny. "I'll miss you all at the Briery too. But don't forget, we will come back whenever Papa is free, and at least I will be home at the end of the summer." Downstairs, her breakfast was waiting for her, and as she finished eating, she heard the family carriage drawn by two fine horses coming round to the front door. Her trunks were piled onto the top of the carriage and fastened to the back. When she was ready to depart, the servants all came crowding into the hall to say goodbye to her. There was the housekeeper, Mrs. Nelson, who ruled upstairs with a rod of iron. There was their dependable cook, Mrs. Ruck, who had reigned supreme in the kitchen for over 20 years. There was the old butler, Parkinson, who had given her sweetmeats in the pantry when she was old enough to toddle in to see him. Oh, there were housemaids and scullions, footmen and night watchmen, all to see her off. Flavia shook hands with each of them, and then Parkinson helped her into the carriage. The senior housemaid, who was travelling with her, followed closely behind. As the horses started to move, there were cries of, "Good luck, miss! Come home soon!" Then they were driving down the long avenue of oak trees towards the lodge gates. "I hate leaving home," Flavia said more to herself than to Martha, the housemaid. "Oh, we'll all miss you," remarked Martha. "But, Miss Flavia, you mustn't forget the house in Grosvenor Square also be your home." "Oh, that is what Papa says."